Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight?
Blessed.
Are you blessed and highly flavored? This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Oh, to God be the glory. Things are happening. Definitely happening. Would you grab your swords for a moment, please? It's time to reload. And turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's speak it together, please. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, this was a prophetic word. This prophetic word was about a child that would be born and come into this realm. And we know that child is known as Jesus the Christ, Christ Jesus. And in this, there's a prophetic word that would bring a new culture. Everyone say new culture. In other words, not to change an old culture, but to bring a new eternal culture into this realm. A new eternal culture to the earth. All other cultures will eventually cease from existence. But there will only be one culture that will stand forever, and that is the eternal culture of the eternal kingdom of God. This culture, again, was established by Christ Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing. A new culture called an eternal culture. Go to Psalm 102. Psalm 102 and verse 18, and let's speak this together. An eternal culture, a brand new culture. Not that the old ones would be changed, but there would be an arena where a brand new culture, which is an eternal culture, would be established that will be forever. All other cultures, their existence will come to an end. Only one culture will last forever. Is everybody with me? In verse 18, let's speak it. And this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Let me share something with you that he says there'll be a new generation that will be created. It's not yet here. He was prophesying this. That will come to praise the Lord. In other words, their desire will be God's presence. It'll be a culture of God's presence. Let me share something with you. If you want to change a culture, the first thing that must change is music. Music will change a culture. But God was creating a culture that will be based on his presence by praise. A brand new culture. Let's go a little further. Verse 19. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, and to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Whoa. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, oh my God, do not take me away from the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Throughout what? All generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. In other words, there will be a culture that will be created that is known as an eternal culture. Is everybody with me? A generation to come, a people created with a new culture may praise the Lord. You know, you got to remember now that this was prophetic because King David, who wrote much of the Psalms here, was actually preparing music. He was preparing music for the new culture. He was preparing praise and worship for the new culture that was about to be established and come in when Christ came. He did this with psalms of praise and worship. Again, music opens the soul to change. It changes with emotions and feelings. It changes. And let me share with you again. If you want to try to change a culture, you change the music. It begins to change. Each culture has its own music, doesn't it? Whether Latin, whether German, no matter what, every culture and nationality has a history of its own music, doesn't it? And not only does it have its history of its own music, it has its own dance. There are certain talents that certain cultures are better at than others. They have their own food. They have their own language. They even have their own dress. They have their own beliefs, their own character. They have their own type of religion or even a certain god they worship. They have their own ways. They even have their own burials. These are called traditions of culture. So in the culture, there are certain traditions, isn't there, that's passed down and handed down. But it's still a culture. And these cultures, we know that all started from the Tower of Babel. So we know that these cultures started with rebellion. Amen? Again, if you want to change your culture, you introduce a new music. And that will begin to alter its change. Let me give you an instance. Look in this country. Our culture began to change. We were a Christian country. There were certain belief systems. There wasn't lust on TV. More people went to church and fellowship and so forth. I know that when I was younger, that's what I saw. You know, Beaver was on TV and Ozzy and Harriet and I don't know the other one. I can't remember. It's too far ago. But even TV's culture was different. It was wholesome. They didn't show two people in the same bedroom. Well, they did. They were in different beds, weren't they? Yeah. Dick Van Dyke, man, they slept in separate beds, him and his wife. So in this culture, we saw things begin to change. Now, one of the changes that began when Elvis Presley came up, culture began to change slightly. When the Beatles came to America, culture changed instantly because the music changed. And when the music changed, there was a whole generation of different... I know I was there. I know when they came in the country, I said, man, I'm doing what I want to do now. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. See a mom and pop. I got another agenda. Why? Because that culture, that music affected my soul. And when you begin to yield your soul over to darkness, possession begins. So there was a culture that was changing in our own country. We saw it begin as children, and then it was passed down, wasn't it? So now the music was not only accepted, although it was rebelled by the elders, but then the elders died off, and then the children accepted it. Cultures began to change, and everything began to change, and it began a new culture. It gripped the soul. It altered the course of culture. Music will do that. And it was coming into its own tradition, depending on what was promoting the music to alter the culture. Our culture now in the music in the world is to promote self. It promotes rebellion. It promotes hatred. It promotes lust. It promotes sorrow. It promotes pride. It promotes fear. It promotes worship of idols. It influenced talents and abilities and even arts. You didn't see in the older days people being painted with no clothes on and stuff and all kinds of goofy stuff. I mean, in the art culture. I mean, I'm talking, there's some goofy paintings right now where they mock Jesus on paintings and all kinds of stuff. You didn't see that then. Even the lyrics brought a deception now. It was the lyrics brought what we call deception or fact, according to the natural. And things began to change. But we know all of the, again, all will come to an end. all these cultures will come to an end except for one culture. Even this country now no longer proclaims to be Christian. The leaders that have changed. There's good and evil in this country, but not righteousness anymore. It's no longer a standard of righteousness. It's good and evil. Amen? But when you and I were born again into the Spirit, we are not only born again, but we are a new creation in a new culture, an eternal culture. So we have music that promotes the presence of evil and music that promotes the presence of God. And the music of worship that comes from the offsprings of the eternal God will stand forever. It will maintain an eternal culture and traditions to bring his presence while the other cultures bring evil presence and unknowing circumstances. We are entering a whole arena where there will be a clash of cultures. And one of the things that the enemy will always try to do is move you out. In Psalm 96 in verse 1, let's speak it together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, and proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. Wow. So we see that sing a new song because there will be a new song released into this realm that will produce and establish a new culture. And it's continuing right now, isn't it? It will proclaim his salvation, won't it? From day to day, a new culture with a new people and a new song, an eternal culture. And Psalm 40. And you must also remember that our battle in this arena is that the enemy will always try to lure you out into the culture of the world, which is ruled by Satan. Remember, Satan, who was also known as Lucifer, was the praise and worship leader of the universe, wasn't he? So one of the ways that lures people back into the old is music. Music. And in Psalm 40, in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a what? New song in my mouth. In other words, this is a person that has been born of the Spirit. He's now has a new song. No longer a song of the old culture, but a song of the new culture, the eternal culture. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Why? Because they'll see the change of that person who is now living according to the eternal culture and not a temporary culture. So everybody got it? In 1 Peter chapter 4, eternal culture. Yes. In verse 1, let's speak this together, please. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, which is a different culture, isn't it? It's a temporary culture, not an eternal culture. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So in other words, the people that you used to be involved in at one time, in the culture, not only your national culture, but the culture of this country, are going to look at you like, what's the matter? Why? Come on, why don't you listen to this anymore? Why don't you do this anymore? Why don't you do? Because you are now living in an internal culture. You desire it. You desire it because it's been implemented in you. You desire a different culture. You desire a different way of life now. It's something that you didn't do, but he did when you were born again because you are a new creation. You're just not born again. You're a brand new creation and a brand new culture called eternal culture. There's a different way of life in that eternal culture, but the enemy will try to lure you out, won't he? So people will think it's strange why you don't do the things that you used to do. In verse 4 again, in regard to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will speak evil of you, and they won't even know why, because they won't understand. Because darkness cannot comprehend light. Verse 5, it says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Powerful. So they're going to think it's strange now, you know, that you no longer run with them anymore. You know, the Bible says something, evil company corrupts good habits, doesn't it? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Eternal culture. In verse 14, let's speak it. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Now listen, righteousness and lawlessness. So the righteousness is those who eat from the tree of life, and lawlessness are those who eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a difference. One has an eternal culture, one has a temporary one. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If, that word therefore means if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. How many of you know you can touch unclean music? And I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, I have seen people go backwards, and once they started going forward, and go backwards because they began to listen to secular music. Again, there are three chambers in the tabernacle. You have the outer court, holy place, most holy place. The outer court is the closest thing to outer darkness. This is where Satan's music is. This is where his culture is. This is where worldly culture is, temporary culture. In the tabernacle of God is a new culture. It's an eternal culture. There are different traditions now. There's a new way of life. And too many believers are still trying to fulfill and carry their old temporary culture into an eternal culture, and it causes confusion. It causes immaturity. And it causes a lack of growth. I see people fall many times, and it starts with secular music. He said, come out from among them and be separate. And then it says here, and I will be a father to you. See, in this new culture, you have a new father. It's no longer according to the traditions of your father that you were taught things in the natural realm. It's now a tradition from the eternal father. Everything is different. Listen, I loved my dad, I loved my parents, but I realized my new parents were not of this realm. My new parents, they were different. God was not only my father, he was my mother. He was my everything. I began to realize about an eternal culture, eternal family, and everything was different. I didn't want to go back because I had a new desire. See, when you're brand new, you want new. You walk away from the old. And you walk into the new. Oh, hallelujah. I had new brothers and sisters of the eternal culture. And everybody had multiple talents and abilities. But we were all members of one culture. One culture. In Romans chapter 12. We have a teaching called Breaking Cultural Ties, which I encourage people to get and use, because cultural ties are very important to break, because they're emotional ties with them. Will stunt your growth until they're broke. Well, this is how my mom used to do it. Well, this is how my dad used to do it. Well, we ain't doing that no more, okay? That's over with. Everything is brand new. You want to live a new life, you live a new culture. Romans 12, verse 3. Let's speak it. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So even though that we are members of one body known as the culture or the body of Christ, but in this body here on earth, we have an eternal culture that God has established. It's a different way of life. Although it's somewhat parallel to some of the culture that was temporary, but this is eternal. Is everybody okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. So I think I just really believe that the Spirit is trying to bring a reality that not only are we a new creation in Christ and an eternal being within, we are eternal now. We already started our eternal life, that we are in the kingdom of God, it is eternal. But we've got to begin to recognize more of the eternal culture that has been established and make sure that we maintain them in every area. In Hebrews 10:23, let's speak it. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the what? Assembling of ourselves together as in a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he's saying, forsake not to assemble, a culture that assembles to worship God. No longer do we go to concerts to worship idols or darkness or self. We gather together and assemble to worship the living God. That's what we do now. We are a culture that repents, asks for forgiveness in the things that we've done that have offended God. People in the world repent or ask for forgiveness of someone they've hurt, and majority of the time is to gain. Because many times people don't even ask forgiveness until they've been caught. That's the temporary culture. But we ask for forgiveness not because we've been caught, but because we know that we have offended God. So we are a culture that repentance is on the tip of their tongue. Amen? We are a culture that not only repents and asks for forgiveness, but exposes evil. We do not promote evil. We expose it. There's a difference. This is a part of our eternal culture in John 6. So we see we have a new music, new song. Our desire is not the presence of man. It's the presence of the Lord. It's an eternal culture. We assemble together so we can worship the Lord together and bring his presence. And we assemble together to talk about the wonders that God has done in our life. That's why we give testimony. So you actually are a carrier of an eternal culture by the presence of God. And wherever you go, Jesus is offering a new culture. Would you like a temporary one or an eternal one? He offers mankind a brand new life, a new creation with an eternal culture, an eternal ways. In John chapter 6 and verse 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. That's called temporary. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. So we have an eternal culture with eternal food. It's a new food. I am, is everybody there? Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, but I will raise him up at the what? Last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood abides in me, and I in him. Wow. So in this eternal culture, this is our new food, And of course, we know that his flesh is associated with his word and his blood is associated with the spirit. Amen. So we drink the spirit by praise and worship, and we eat the word by confession of his word. Because what you speak is what you eat. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I've come to bring life and life abundant. In other words, in this life, he was coming to bring a new eternal culture. In Psalm 103. Glory. Psalm 103, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How are you going to bless his name? Praise and worship. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and what? Forget not his benefits. This is a part of his eternal culture. You have benefits in this eternal culture. Look at the benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities, okay? And who what? Heals all your diseases, so you have a medical plan in this culture. Who redeems your life from destruction. Wow, because you have an eternal life now. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies and satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In other words, your youth will be restored. Why? Because you know what a youth is? Very joyful. Your joy will be restored, just like a youth. Let me share something with you. In God's presence, aging slows down. People don't realize that. Aging slows down. Think about when Moses went into the presence of the Lord. He was there 40 days. He didn't age a second. He had the glory of God on him, changed his hair color. But he only thought he was in there 5 minutes. He went in there, talked to the Lord, wrote some things down, and left. It was 40 days later. It's like, whoa. Because there's no time or space there. Things are at a standstill, even though things are moving. But the aging process stills. So the more you're in God's presence, that's what he's talking about. What a benefit. The fountain of youth. Oh, glory. Eternal benefits on earth. Don't we need them? We belong to an eternal culture. We're a new creation. Praise God. Isaiah 46. Oh, glory. Isaiah 46. And verse 12. The Lord says something powerful. He says, listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory. A culture that practices righteousness and supports the cause of Israel. Practices righteousness and supports a cause of Israel. It's called an eternal culture. In Mark 16, Mark 16. Is everybody okay? We are a culture that labors unto the Lord, not unto self. Mark 16. In verse 16, let's speak it together. We all should know this by now. And he who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who what? Believe. So we will be a culture of people that signs will follow. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. We are a people that make what is unseen to become seen. It is different. We do not live in just the seen realm. We live in the unseen realm. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. We, just like any other culture, we have a new language. That's what tongues is about. Speaking directly to your Father. It is a new culture. An eternal culture. That exposes darkness, the deceptions of the enemy, that speaks directly to their Father in another language, that has a new food. That food is the flesh of Christ and the drink of his blood of his spirit. It is a eternal culture. And they will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly and by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So they will pray for the sick. They will lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. Amen? Butterfly. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 2. Praise God. 1 John chapter 2. An eternal culture. Verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And you know all things. That means you're going to know things to come. That means you're going to be able to discern the prophetic events that's going on in the world. Because you know all things. In verse 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. In other words, because the anointing teaches us. And we can tell a difference when the anointing teaches us and when man teaches us. There is a difference. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it's taught you, you will abide in him, in the anointing. It is different because we are a different people. We are an eternal people. An eternal culture, a totally different way of life. Totally. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And here they try to trick Jesus. And Jesus had a powerful answer. And one of the things that the Pharisees were sharing about, if a man had a woman and they were married and she died and so forth and multiple times. In verse 28, it's, they said, well, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. In verse 29, and Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures. Whoa. Nor the power of God. Look at what he says in verse 30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. This is what we'll be like. Why? Because when we leave this place, we'll have a glorified body. We'll be like angels because we have an eternal culture. It's different than a temporary culture. Go to Ephesians 6. Death is not, the death in this realm is not the end for us. It is the beginning. Where many, the cultures in this world think that the death in this realm is the end. But for me and you, it's the beginning. Glory. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's speak it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11. Look at this. We have a new dress. See, there's a temporary culture with dress. We have a dress. We have the garment of praise that we put on as a priest. Amen. In verse 11. Let's speak it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we have a new dress. We have the full armor of God. Look at this. Verse 12. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. We make what's unseen seen. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And he tells you how to get dressed. So our dress is different, isn't it? See, even though we dress with natural clothing, but we have a spiritual clothing. We are warriors. We are warriors of the unseen realm. It's totally different. Glory. We are dressed with the armor of God. It's an eternal culture. It's a spiritual dress to fulfill our call, purpose, and destiny. It's different. And we've got to begin to see what one of the things that the enemy tries to do is tries to get you to constantly look at, think at the temporary culture. But the Lord is trying to tell us we are and live in an eternal culture right here and right now. It's different. In Mark 7, hallelujah, eternal culture with eternal traditions. We are a culture of humbleness, not pride. God rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In Mark 7 and verse 5, is everybody there? Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? I like Jesus. He didn't play around, man. He spoke it just the way it is. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Traditions. Look at the traditions of religion. Look at all the traditions that have been handed down from generation to generation. Where many people don't believe in casting out devils. Where many people don't believe in speaking in tongues. Where many people, they don't even worship. They sing a couple hymns and sit down. They're not looking or desiring or love the presence of God. There's a difference. This, the eternal culture, those are truly of this eternal culture. And this is something, if we're really walking in the eternal culture, we desire God's presence. Knowing that there isn't anything else that fulfills or desires God's presence. That's what we live for. Cultural traditions that hold to the world are carnal. And they are temporary. And Colossians chapter 2. I was brought up in an Italian family. I thought it was natural to yell for something. Hey! Throw me the butter! Whatever, you know. Spaghetti was breakfast. And you know, there were certain cultures. After I got born again, I didn't eat spaghetti anymore. I was spaghettied out. Not that I won't have it once in a great while, but it's no longer part of my weekly meal, nor monthly. I might have spaghetti maybe once every 4 months, but I still like meatballs. But I don't like them with pork. I'm porkless now. Pork makes you porky. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Verse 6. Let's speak it together. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the what? Traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So beware that you don't get cheated, get sucked back into the temporary cultures again. Amen? In traditions. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to stop eating rice and beans and other things. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you throw out all of these areas of certain foods. But remember, to live in the eternal, you must live according to the eternal culture. So your life is no longer according with the food that we used to eat, according to the old culture. It's according to now the new food we eat, which is the flesh of Christ, which is his word, and the drink of his blood, which is the spirit. That's how we maintain eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1. And then one more scripture, and then you can go home and eat some of your old culture. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear or reverence, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And I want to close at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 16. Verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, right? Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, in which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. In other words, the new traditions of the new culture. Has everybody got it? You know, the word tells us that we don't, that the letter kills and the spirit brings life. The letter kills and the spirit brings life. Why? And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, because that's his presence. So we live for his presence. We don't live just because we read about him. We live for his presence. Because you want to go beyond just reading about him. You want to know him. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? And verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Eternal culture. Begin to recognize the eternal culture now in what you live, because you are already eternal. You eat of his flesh, you drink of his blood, his spirit. We have a different culture. We have different traditions. We're to carry these traditions on to our children. We're to teach our children to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick, to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, to overcome the world and overcome fear and doubt, to overcome yourself. Jesus said something powerful. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. That's a whole different culture, isn't it? To deny yourself when the world wants to promote yourself. That's why we tell everybody that when they come into the house of True Ministries, welcome to the house of death. Because it's a place where you're to deny yourself. Amen? And live a brand new culture. An eternal one. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your word. Lord, grant us the opportunity where our eyes are continually open to the eternal culture and traditions, to maintain them, knowing that we are eternal with an eternal kingdom, an eternal king, eternal brothers and sisters. Lord, protect that seed and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And thank you for all the wonderful benefits of healing and all the eternal benefits in this eternal culture. Thank you. Now, I want to thank all the listeners and the viewers. And for more teachings and resources, please visit us at theeternallibrary.org. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and heal you and uplift you, because you're a new creation in Christ. And old things have passed away and all things are made new in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.